In the first reading from Scripture, we hear a description of the servant of God. Close to the very end of the book of Isaiah the prophet, there are four rather lengthy poems which are called the servant songs. And from the very earliest days, the church has seen these four poems as a description of Jesus. In the poem that we heard part of this morning, we're told that the servant of God will make the plan of God active. That the role of the servant of God is to activate, to implement the plan of God. Jesus speaks of himself as the servant. And that image is not lost in his contemporaries' hearing. That image is very strong, and they would understand exactly what he is saying. In fact, that image of Jesus becomes so pronounced in the life of that early church that in the early decades, in the first century of the Christian history, the servant of God, that phrase, was the predominant description of Jesus. We have a document that comes from the middle to latter part of the first century of the Christian era, a document called the Teaching of the 12 Apostles. This document is a rule book. It's a description of how an early Christian community organized and ordered its life. It's a very small piece of writing. There weren't a lot of rules. But in the ninth chapter, there is a description as to how the Sunday liturgy is to be celebrated. And the words of the Eucharistic prayer, or at least the outline of that Eucharistic prayer, are listed. And in that prayer, Jesus is given two names. He is called the Son of David, and he is called the Servant of God. So in the faith of the very early church, this image of Jesus as the Servant of God is deep and it is strong. That early document, the Teaching of the 12 Apostles, that rule book for that early Christian community, also emphasized that there must be freedom within that community for the Spirit of God to work. And so there are a number of places in which that is emphasized. Just as Jesus said to the disciples, when you exercise authority, you can't do it like the Gentiles do, where they lord it over each other, or where they are heavy-handed. So for instance, in the ninth chapter, where the description of how the Sunday liturgy is to take place, and the words that are to be used, at the very end of that chapter, there is a sentence that says, all of this is binding on the community unless there is a prophet present, and these rules do not bind that person. So in the very rules of that community, there was latitude given, recognizing that the Spirit of God is above all of the structure, the human structure of a community, and there has to be some latitude allowed so that the Spirit of God can be active. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, that's the way you are to live. You are to exercise an authority that provides ample elbow room for the Spirit of God. You're not to be heavy-handed like the Gentiles. You're not to lord it over each other. You're not to let your authority be felt in a strong way. You're to create space for each other and space for the Spirit. And secondly, the image of the servant of God is to be the image that is to guide the lives of that early church community. That if you want to be great, you must serve others. If you want to be first, you must be the servant of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life in ransom for many. You and I, in the sacrament of baptism, are drawn into the very center of the mystery and the life of Christ. We are marked by the servant of God. We are called in that sacrament to an identity. We are conformed to an image, the image of Christ. And our destiny, our life, our identity is to be found in that. And the hallmark of that is that in the image of Jesus, we are called to be servants of God, and through that, to make effective, to animate, to make present the very plan of God, which is the salvation of all people. And so as servants of God, we're called to serve each other as Jesus served. And we're called to do that with all that is within us, to give all that we have been given in the service of God and our neighbor, as Jesus did. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to surrender his life for the salvation of all. Please stand. We turn to the Lord God and we pray.